Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of 1 Corinthians, Serve in Unity. In this session, we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 to 34, Behavior at the Lord's Table. The Apostle Paul wrote to help the Christians at Corinth to have a proper spiritual behavior at the Lord's table. Look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, I did not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. There was a problem at the Lord's table which required some correction. Worse versus better. The word worse speaks of morally evil. The early church had love feasts, sharing the bread and cup in the context of a common meal. Jude 12 says, "These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the wind, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots." The worldly carnal church at Corinth turned the holy assemblies into drunken, gluttonous parties, like going to the fair to gorge at the food tent and hang out at the beer tent, pretending it was to praise the Lord. There was behavior which was opposite to the character of Jesus Christ. In our text for this session, Paul called Christians to mind their spiritual manners. First, there were problems at the Lord's table. Look at verse 18. First of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are many divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. There were obvious divisions in the fellowship while they gathered to remember the work of Christ to forgive their sin. The wealthy believers brought food, brought drink, but they didn't share it with the poor. The factions revealed who was spiritual and who was unspiritual. Members of the church came to the Lord's Supper with their pride and the arrogance of spiritual superiority. A self-serving mentality. They weren't coming to share in the Lord's Supper, but just to eat supper. There was no true worship. If this was their attitude, they may as well have eaten at home. Second, there is a significance of the Lord's table. Verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat and drink, you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" This is Jesus' institution of the Lord's Supper. Paul received it by direct revelation from the Lord, not by reading the writings of other apostles or interviewing the other apostles. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, Paul says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. The new covenant in my blood. The old covenant was only a shadow, a type, a picture of the new one. The blood of animals had to be presented repeatedly for sin. The new covenant was established by the precious blood of Jesus Christ once for all. Go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your consciousness from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant. For those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also be of necessity the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet, wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The Lord's Supper is so significant for Christians. Bread to remember his broken body suffering for us. The cup to remember his shed blood payment for sin. Jesus transformed the Passover meal into a remembrance of what has been done from a picture of what was to come. The third cup of the Passover meal, the cup of blessing, became the cup of remembrance. Abraham's seed would be a blessing to all. The gospel is proclaimed in the communion. Jesus' physical incarnation, his sacrificial death, his resurrection, and his coming kingdom. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. The focus of the Lord's table must be Christ and not ourselves. And then third, there are preparations for the Lord's table. Verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats or drinks eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Paul exhorted believers to prepare for communion with self-examination. It is a unique event prepare for it with seriousness. The Lord's Supper is worship. It's not a human eating experience. If a love feast is involved, it must never take away from the remembrance. Unworthy manner, unrepentance, bitterness, unforgiveness, ungodly lifestyle. Do not take it and bring God's chastening. Verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And then verse 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. See, this is being indifferent to Jesus' sacrifice. Christians are protected from hell by the blood, but not from God's chastening, even to the point of death to purge sin from the body of Christ. Our best spiritual behavior is a must at the Lord's table. You think about that, and you have a great day.